Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Total Onslaught when we come back. Well, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Law, and how many laws has our government given us in our secular government statutes? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and the state, at last count, has given us 2.5 million. Now, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men in Acts 5, verse 29, and Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And he said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself are all in agreement that the Scriptures are the final authority on law. Now, to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights is a right, duty, and obligation that we owe to ourselves and to our families and to our society. And here at the law school, we teach these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and we do that twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? You know, the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second and to your whole Bill of Rights. Now, the law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the archives page, and you can download that free General Law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And then go to the archives page and you can download it. The other day I got an email in and it said, you're going to go to hell and burn for eternity because you're divorced. You've got a living spouse and your wife, your current wife, has a living spouse. That is Roman Catholic doctrine. Probably a lot of other churches subscribe to it also. And it's pretty common, but it's false doctrine. It's not true. I'm sure that the man that sent me the letter was sincere. I don't think that he meant any harm by it, or that he was being malicious in any way. At least I don't subscribe to that theory. But he has a view that he picked up somewhere in his life, probably from Sunday school and catechism and church attendance and so on. And he's been propagandized. He's been brainwashed. Well, that's pretty common because all of us have been propagandized and brainwashed. Most of what you believe isn't true. And I can tell you this much, 25% of everything that comes out of your mouth is false. And we're just talking about science. We're just talking about this is what we do with people. We test them and we analyze them and one thing and another. And just how much do you know that's really true? I always get a kick out of Jay Leno and jaywalking. I haven't seen one of those for a while now, but he used to go out in the street and interview people. And the answers that he would get from people, you know, college kids. I mean, people had been educated, you know. And then what he's showing here is how poor our school system is and now how dumb people are. And these people don't see themselves as dumb. And furthermore, they're all registered voters and they're out here voting for politicians that are going to lead our country, you know, out of this morass that we're in. These are the people that are going to vote for the politicians, the people that are the dumbest in our society. Well, there's a story here in Daniel. Let me flip over to that story and let me pick up here. We're talking about Total Onslaught. It's a review of some DVDs that I received in the mail here the other day. And I reviewed them and I was really impressed. And I learned so much from them. In fact, I learned so much from these DVDs, it made me realize how dumb I am. Now, I'm 70 years old, and I think I'm pretty smart. At age 70, I think I'm smarter than most of you 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds out there. Now, it may be true that you could be a nuclear physicist, and you could say, boy, I'm a nuclear physicist, and I know how to build an atomic bomb, and I'm smarter than you. Well, when it comes to building atomic bombs, you're probably right. But when it comes to plumbing, I'm not sure that a nuclear physicist would make a very good plumber. I'm not sure that you know what the latest codes are concerning plumbing a house or an apartment house or putting a stack through the wall or a vent pipe. You know, I'm not sure that you know all of that. You might, you know, but typically the nuclear physicist doesn't know much about plumbing, and the plumber doesn't know much about building atomic bombs. We aren't exactly dumb, but we don't know everything, do we? So, Daniel had a run-in with Big Mike. And Daniel said that he wanted to know what the wise knew. Now, it's in chapter 12. Let me just read you chapter 12 of Daniel. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life." So there's a book here called the Book of Life, and you need to have your name written in it. It's described in Revelation. It's described in Daniel. These two books are parallelisms. There's information in Daniel that you have to have in order to code-plead out Revelation, and there's information in Revelation that you need to code-plead out Daniel. Now, Daniel wrote this in about 536 B.C., you know, 500 B.C. in round numbers. And he had never read the book of Revelation. He did not know what it was he was writing. And in verse 2, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Hey, we're living in a time when we've got a lot of knowledge out here. I mean, we're flying rocket ships up to space stations, and we're building atomic bombs and blowing people up and killing people faster than we've ever been able to kill them before. We've got lasers. You know, we've got jet airplanes. I mean, we've got a lot of technology here. And we're living in the end times. Now, how long these end times go on, I don't know. 50 years, 100 years, something like that. Well, anyway, verse 5, "Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood other two, the one on the side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. But many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That's verse 10. So that's where I'm at. I'm sitting here saying, I wonder how I can be wise and understand. How do you do that? Well, it tells you the answer here. He said, go your way. He said, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, what is it that makes you wise? So we go to Proverbs chapter 1, and God tells us, he says, three things that you're looking for here, partner. You're looking for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And he said, you want to get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding above rubies, diamonds, gold, and silver. Get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and rubies and diamonds and gold and silver will flow into your coffers because of your wisdom. But go out and get the gold, silver, and the diamonds and rubies, and your foolishness will dissipate your wealth. Well, I've been around for a while, and I've been observing that. I find that foolish people who win the lottery are in short order, flat-ass broke. And then I notice other people over here that start out broke end up with a lot of wealth. Now, the man that sent me the letter and said, hey, you're going to hell, is following orthodoxy. That's what he's learned. That's what most people believe. That's what the majority believes. It's not righteous, and it's incorrect doctrine. Think about it for a minute. Just mull it over. You're going to live for about 75 years on planet Earth, and let's suppose that you're just a Donald Trump. You're not religious, don't go to church, don't do jack squat. You've cheated a lot of people, lied, and you've robbed the poor, and you charged usury and interest, and you're a dirty rounder, and you deserve to be punished. And so the punishment is, for 75 years of misdeeds, we are going to punish you for 1,000,000 years. We're not just going to punish you, we're going to torture you. We're going to put you into a fire that never consumes you, but just burns, just delivers excruciating pain for 1,000,000 years. And that's just the beginning, because after you've finished 1,000,000 years, you still have all of eternity to suffer this pain, suffering, and anguish. 1,000,000 years, then 1,000,000,000 years, then 1,000,000,000,000 years, and then trillions upon trillions upon trillions of years. And all of that punishment, all of that agony, all of that pain and suffering is the retribution that God is going to visit upon you for your 75 years of misdeeds. Does that sound like to you that God is some kind of a tyrant, a sadomasochist, a God or a creature who is totally unjust, unreasonable? Because that's the picture that we get from paganism. That's where that doctrine comes from. It's Mithraic paganism mixed with the Assyrian and Babylonian and Egyptian mystery religion of Osiris and etc. They're the guys that teach that. Now, I'm probably a pretty bad guy, and I wouldn't deny it. But I don't think that divorcing and remarrying warrants that kind of punishment. I wouldn't do that to a dog. Once in a while, we'll have an animal go down. you know, that's an animal that gets sick, and or they break a leg or something, you know, and they're not going to recover, and they're in pain and suffering, and they're anguish. And so we come up to the house, and we get a gun, and we go down, and we put them out of their misery. We shoot them in the head, and then that's the end of it. They're dead. Well, in the series Total Onslaught, the professor, this is Professor Vi, or I think his name is Vith, T-H is the end, Vith. And he points out, he's got a DVD here, on death. What is it? And the religions teach you that you have an immortal soul, and that your immortal soul is going to either go to heaven or go to hell. It's the real you. Your body, it's just your shell, and it's just going to die and decay. But the real you, the soul, it's going to live on forever and ever and ever. They teach that you have eternal life. That eternal life isn't something that you're striving for, trying to achieve. That's the reward that you're going to receive. They teach that you've already got that, partner. You got that when you showed up here on planet Earth from wherever you came from. And that you're going to leave here with it. That you're indestructible. That's not what the Bible teaches. And Ezekiel 18 is pretty plain on the subject. That you are a soul. You don't have one. You are it. And the soul that sins, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. Dead. D-E-D. Dead. Death. Unconsciousness. Now that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what Vey is teaching, and he's correct. That's sound doctrine. And it's sound doctrine not because I agree with him or because he said so. It's sound doctrine because that's what the Scripture says. I didn't say it. I'm just a reporter. And Vith, he's a reporter, and he's reported on that story and reported it correctly. Now, going back to the guy that wrote me the letter, he's a nice guy. And that guy is ultimately probably going to make it into the kingdom. He's probably going to be saved. And I think in the final analysis, you know, if I don't get really off the wall here, I'll probably make it. I may not make the first resurrection, but if I don't make the first, I'll probably make the second. And I'm going to work as hard as I can to avoid the third. And then I would guess that most of the people on planet Earth are going to make either the first or second resurrection. Now, it is true there are some people that are going into the lake of fire. But in Malachi 4, about verse 3, it explains what happens to those people. They're going to be burned up and turned to ash. That's what happens when you take a cadaver, a dead body, and you put it into the furnace and you burn it up. And then they deliver to you the ashes of your loved one in an urn, they call it. They just put it in a bottle and give it to you. And then you can go out and spread those ashes around. And then if you walk on the ground where you spread those ashes, a prophecy in Malachi 4 comes to pass. And the ashes of the wicked shall be under the feet of the righteous. That's where the wicked are headed. They're not headed for eternity in hellfire, to be endlessly punished by a sadistic God. That isn't the plan. Now, that may be what you believe, but that isn't true. Now, everybody's at a different level. I'm an old man now, and I look back and I say, well, how much did I know when I was 10 years old? Well, when I was 10 years old, compared to when I was 20 years old, I didn't know much. So when I got to be 20, I looked back at the time when I was 10 in the fourth grade, and I said, you know, I'm a lot smarter than I was at age 10. And I thought at age 20, I just about have the world by the short hairs. Then I lived to be 30. And I looked back at age 30 to when I was 20. And I learned some things between 20 and 30. That's 10 years, a decade. I mean, unless you're brain dead, you know, you should learn something in 10 years. And I did. I learned a bunch. so that when I got to be 30, I could look back at 20 and say, with confidence, I'm a lot smarter today at age 30 than I was at age 20. I know a lot more. I'm wiser, smarter. Well, then I lasted another 10 years to 40, and when I got to be 40, I looked back and I thought about and I mused over, well, what have you learned in this 10 years? And it was a bunch. I learned a lot in the 10 years between age 30 and age 40. And then I lived to be 50, and I looked back and I said, well, now how much more do I know at age 50 than age 40? And I was ashamed of myself. I said, I can't believe I was that dumb at age 40. I was really dumb at age 40, but by age 50, I was starting to get a handle on it. And then I lived to be age 60. And at age 60, I looked back at my 10 years from age 50, and I said, oh my God, I've learned a whole lot more than I knew when I was age 50. In fact, now I'm even more ashamed than I was from 50 to 40 than I am now from 60 to 50. I wonder how much I'm going to learn between age 60 and 70. And sure enough, I learned a whole bunch more. Life is an accumulation of experiences and information. Those of you listening to me now at age 20 or 30, in another 10 or 20 years, you're going to be a lot smarter. You're going to learn a lot. And you're going to learn this from other people. And the other people that you learn this from may not be as smart as you are. They may know two or three things. They may not know 50 or 75 like you, but they know two or three. Now, I had a guy one time, his name was Irwin Schiff. I'm going to tell you a little story here, so gather around, boys and girls, and let me show you something about the accumulation of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Irwin Schiff was on the lecture circuit, and he was a tax protester, and he was teaching people that the income tax was unconstitutional. And some time went by, and one day my wife said that she read in the paper, and she brought the paper in, Irwin Schiff had been indicted for tax evasion. Well, I knew Irwin Schiff, and I said, well, now that's a pretty nice guy, and I like him. Call him on the phone, and let me talk to him. She did. She got him on the phone, and I said, Irwin. I said, now, I know some things about taxes. I don't think I know as much as you do, but I do know some things. And I don't think that you know what I know about taxes. And I would like you to come down here to school free of charge at my expense. I'll put you through my school, and I'm going to teach you everything that I know about taxes, and then you can add that to everything that you know about taxes. And then you're going to be twice as smart as I am, because you're going to know everything that I know, plus everything that you know, because I'm going to tell you what I know. But while you're here, you're not going to tell me what you know. So I'm going to know what I know, but I'm not going to know what you know, but you're going to know what you know, plus what I know, and you're going to be twice as smart. So why don't you come on down? And he said, George, I'm up to my hiney in alligators. I'm working hard. I wish I could, but I can't. I just haven't got the time. So I said, in parting, I said, well, now, if you change your mind and you get the time, you just feel free to come on down. The offer's open anytime you want. And so some time went by, and my wife came in one day, and she says, look what's in the paper here. Irwin Schiff was convicted and sent to prison. And I said, well, I'm sorry about that, and I'm saddened, because I think if he knew what I knew, he might have avoided that. Maybe, maybe not. You know, I don't claim that I'm the world's greatest tax consultant, or that I know everything that there is to know about taxes, or that I know everything about the Bible, or that I know everything about physics, or, you know, but I know a little of this and a little of that. And some of what I know may be some things that you've never heard of. Well, some time went by, and my wife told me that Irwin Schiff had been released from prison. In fact, she showed me the newspaper article, and I said, well, I'm happy to see that. I'm glad that Irwin's been released. Some time went by, and by, one day she came in and said, well, look at this. Irwin Schiff's been indicted for taxes again. And I said, get him on the phone. And she did. He used to live up in Connecticut in those days. And then she got him on the phone, and I said, Irwin, listen, why don't you come down here to school? It won't cost you anything. Put you through school free. There's some things that I know that I've learned over the years. And I'm not sure that you know these things, and so I want to tell you what I know, free of charge. Don't cost anything. And that'll make you smarter than me, because you know all that you know, and I'm going to tell you all that I know, and you're not going to tell me what you know, so you're going to be twice as smart as I am, but I would like to share this with you. Says, George, I love you like a brother, and I would like to, but I haven't got the time. I'm so busy defending against these tax charges and running my business and doing my things. I just can't take off for a week and come down there to your school. I said, well, listen, anytime you want, you come on down. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And we parted right there. And then some time went by. And my wife pointed out that Irwin had been convicted and jailed again. And by and by, some time went by, and one day my wife came in. She says, well, look at this. Irwin Schiff has been released from prison. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm always sad when somebody goes to jail, and I'm glad to see that he's been freed. And so by and by, some time went by, and my wife came in with the newspaper, and she said, well, look at this. Irwin Schiff has been indicted again, and do you want me to get him on the phone? And I said, no, you don't need to get Irwin on the phone. She said, well, the first time you said go get him on the phone. The second time you said go get him on the phone. Now here he is, same problem. He's been indicted again for income tax evasion. And now you're telling me you don't want me to go get him on the phone. Why is that? And I said, well, I already know the answer. He's up to his asshole in alligators. And he doesn't have time to come down here because he's busy defending against these tax charges and running his business. He's already told me that twice. And I've already told him twice that if there was, at any time, he changed his mind, you know, it wouldn't cost him anything, he could come down here. So I presume that he's smarter than I am. And I never denied it. I always thought that Irwin Schiff was smarter than I was. But I maintain to this moment in time that there are some things that he doesn't know. Because, you see, he's been to jail three times and I haven't been to jail once. Yet. I never said to anybody that I was bulletproof. I just said that I knew some things and I would like to share them. Now, here's the moral to that story, boys and girls. All of us know some things, but none of us know everything. So throughout your life, you're going to continually be learning new things, you know, assuming that you're average, you know, got an IQ of 70 or 80, somewhere along in there. You should be able to pick up on some new things as they go by. Now, you know, if you work at it a little bit, you could pick up a lot of things. And so I'm just here as a reporter bringing to you information. And this guy, Walter Weiss, has a lot of new information. I know that he's got information you've never heard before because I'm 70 and I never heard it before. And I was out looking for it. Most people aren't out looking for this kind of information. And so the last time I told you about in these five stories in here, I told you about the Bible. The Bible has been perverted. It's been rewritten. There's been some bad guys come in here, and they have changed the meanings of the words in the Scripture. In fact, in the New King James, they've made 1,200 changes. See, the old King James had 172 mistranslations in it. The New King James now has 1,200. They've been working on it. And if you've been reading the New King James or the NIV or the NSA or whatever the hell they call it, you know, you've been getting some bad information in violation of this warning that God himself gave us in Revelation 22:18. He said, don't do that. Don't you make any changes in there. So Professor Veith did this. He puts up here on the screen the King James translation, and he puts over here the NIV translation and a couple others. And then on the screen, he draws lines through the King James translation that has been omitted from the new translations, and then asks the question, if we take these words out, will that change the meaning of that thought, of that scripture? And then he shows you where they've added words in. And they said, now these added words, does adding these words over here change anything? Would that cause you to believe something different? Would that cause you to believe that you're going to go to hell and burn forever when these words are changed? Would that cause you to believe that when you die you're going to go to heaven? Now, you know, there's a lot of confusion as to where these translations come from. So he explains that. He says, now here's the Alexandrian text. Here's the Roman text. Here's the Jerusalem text. Here's the Receptus text. And so he goes through and he says, well, now which ones have been corrupted and when did they get corrupted? And how can we know? How can we figure that out? By golly, this guy's got the answer to that. So when I got through watching these two, I said, oh my God, I didn't know that. Now, I was 70 when I watched this. I said, here I am at age 70. Now, when I get to be 80, you know, assuming I live that long, when I get to be 80, I'm going to look back and say, you know, I'm a lot smarter here at age 80 than I was at age 70. And I thought I could cut a fat hog in the back when I was 70. Hell, I thought I could cut a fat hog in the back when I was 60 and 50 and 40 and 30. And so every 10 years, you're going to get a lot smarter than you were. So whenever you have an opportunity to learn something new, when somebody knocks on your door, when opportunity knocks and says, here, let me show you this. Instead of slamming the door and saying, no, I'm busy, I don't have time, why don't you sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and see if you can learn something new? And that's what I'm suggesting here. Now, remember this guy's name now. His name is Walter J. Veith. V-E-I-T-H. I think that's right. Let me see if I'm right here. About the speaker with a background in zoology, biomedical sciences, and research in archaeology. Walter J. Veith. V-E-I-T-H. He pronounced his name once or twice on there. Veith. He's a German. Speaks with an accent. Sounds like an Englishman. Comes from South Africa. Boy, this guy knows something. Now, there were a few things, and I've been mentioning that to you, that I disagreed with. I said, wait a minute, I don't think that's quite correct. And so I listed those so that you wouldn't think that I was trying to spread some false doctrine here. But I would venture a guess and say that Dr. Veith doesn't know everything that I know, just like I don't know everything he knows. So, here's what I'm doing. I picked up his DVDs, and now I know everything that he knows about Revelation and Daniel. But I didn't tell him everything that I know. And that's what makes me a little smarter than the doc here. Because I know everything that I know, plus I know everything that he knows, and I didn't tell him what I know. Tuck that one away in your heart. Well, it's halfway time here, boys and girls, so I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. GeorgeGordon.org. LawHour.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package, so be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, so we just went through a little drill here on who knows what. Now, we're all of us motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. God, our Creator, designed us that way. That's just the way you're built, partner. Like it or lump it. And as a result of that, we oftentimes pass up information that would be good for us, but because we're vain, I'm not going to learn from that guy because I don't like him. He's a Protestant or he's a Catholic. Boys and girls, is there some reason why we can't learn from the Pope? You know, I don't know everything there is to know in the world, and the Pope might know something that I don't know. So I don't think I'd throw rocks at him and say, well, because he's Catholic, I can't learn anything there. I might learn how wicked and evil the guy is, if nothing else. You know, there might be something for me there. Now, Martin Luther was a monk. He was versed in Roman Catholicism, and he was literate. He could read and write. The average guy back in the 1500s couldn't even read and write. Martin Luther could read and write. He read the Bible, and he came to a conclusion. He said, I think that the Catholic Church is in error on these points. And so he went and wrote up 95 points, and he nailed them up on the church door there in, I think it was it Wurttemberg? Well, he didn't nail those up on the Baptist church. He nailed those complaints up on the Catholic Church. He said, hey, I think this Catholicism over here has gone astray. I think there's some mistakes. I think we need to correct this. And the powers that be at the time said, well, we're not going to listen to some upstart like this come in here and try to tell us anything. You see, I think that the Catholic authorities missed the boat there was a guy, he could read and write. He read the scripture. He said, hey, did you guys see this? Did you know this? Did you know that? That's what I said in the last program. I said, well, Dr. Vyth, did you know about vegetarianism in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1? I don't know what he knows or what he doesn't know. But I know, and so I saw that, and I said, well, now I'm not going to write the professor a letter. You know, he's smarter than I am. I'm going to presume he's smarter than I am because I'm learning from him. And I'm learning from Jesus, and I'm learning from God and Peter and Moses and all these guys. And so I'm reading the scripture, and I find these doctrines. I find these little pieces. I report them over the air to you. That's what I'm doing here. I'm reporting this over the air. The scriptures, these 14 new versions of the Bible, are filled with mistranslations that I hadn't heard of before. I didn't know that. See, I've swallowed the official party line. I was told that these new versions of the Bible clean it up so that we can read it in more modern English. They got rid of the these, thys, and thous, and put in we, he, and she, and so now it's easier to read. I thought that these people were acting in good faith, and that they were just cleaning this up for my benefit. Now I found out, no. These are lying deceivers. They intended to deceive me. They intended for me to believe false doctrines. And they succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. I mean, I believed a lot of those lies, and I went out and repeated them. I'm sorry that I did that, but now I'm trying to correct that. And all I'm pointing out to you boys and girls is that you probably have some false information between your ears. Maybe not very much, but, you know, if there's just a little bit, wouldn't it be good for you if you could get rid of that little bit of false information and replace it with the correct, true information? It'd probably be of benefit to you. Now, how much bad dope have you got between your ears? Well, in my lifetime, I found out that about 90% plus, I'm going to be conservative, it's 90% at least, and it's probably more than that, is false. I can remember coming right out of the chute, my parents telling me about Santa Claus coming down the chimney. I mean, did you hear that story on Easter Bunny and Easter and how they lay eggs? And, you know, those were lies. And then as I got into the Bible, I found that there were more lies. And then when I got into public school, I found out they were lying to me. They lied to me about history and archaeology and evolution and so on. And so the truth of the matter is, getting down to the bottom line, I had a lot of false information. Now, here's what I've discovered. There's a lot of good information out there. So I'm gonna start giving you some insights on some good information that I've picked up that cleared up a lot of bad information that I got. And if I tell you what the book is and the author and you write that down, then you can go out and get the book and it'll straighten you out. And then you'll know. Once in a while, I'll get a letter in here and it'll say, you're wrong about this. For instance, I've done a series of programs from time to time on the connecting link between the United States of America and the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh mentioned in the Bible, mentioned in Scripture, Genesis 47, 48, you know, Genesis 48. And people want to correct me. They say, you're wrong about that. You're dead wrong. See, we're Gentiles. We're not Israelites. And so I take that and I hide it in my heart and I say, well, no, that guy probably very sincere, probably means well, but I don't think that he knows what I know from Judas Scepter and Joseph's birthright. I don't think that he has seen the information from the British Israel Society. I don't think he's read Stephen Collins' 5 books on Israel or Herbert Armstrong's book. Maybe if you saw that information, it might change your view. See? So, one time I remember there was a school nurse called me on the telephone and she said, I got your letter here about your son Ted and you don't want him to receive vaccinations. And I said, that's correct. I got your note, and if there's going to be a problem on Wednesday, I'll keep him home. but I don't want my son vaccinated. And she said, well, could I take a moment of your time and explain to you some things that perhaps you don't know? Now, boys and girls, if somebody takes the time to write a letter and says, I don't want my son vaccinated, I mean, just your common sense would tell you, this guy must have read something about vaccinations that was negative. Now, we all know how positive vaccinations are. I mean, that's all you hear in public school. Remember when you went to public school? Hell, we'd all be dead if we hadn't had our vaccinations by now. But see, I had read some negative things, and I put the two together. I came to a conclusion. But when this lady said to me, may I take a little bit of your time and explain some things to you that maybe you don't know? Now, at that time, see, I was in my 20s. See, my son, I was in my 30s. Let's see, my boy Ted was born in 68. I was 29. So, I was about 35 years old. 35. And here's my boy Ted. He's over here in first grade. I'm in a private school. Here comes the school nurse. And I said to myself, ma'am, say on. Let me listen to what you've got to say. And she preached me a sermon for about 5, maybe even 10 minutes. I don't know. I wasn't keeping track of the time. And when she got through with her little dissertation, she had not told me anything that I didn't already know. And she exposed herself as being totally ignorant on the subject of vaccinations, which is fine by me. I don't have any duty to explain to registered nurses the negative aspects of vaccination. I'm not interested in evangelizing the medical profession. They're entitled to believe whatever the hell they want to believe. But I don't want to be propagandized by the medical profession into taking vaccines that are harmful. And so I've come to the conclusion that vaccines are bad for me. I don't know about you. They're just bad for me. And if you want vaccines, get after it. Leave me out. So I've made my choice, and it's probably the wrong choice, but it's mine to make, and I want to make it, even if it's the wrong choice. But I made my choice based upon informed consent. I looked at both sides of the vaccine issue. I have books and books and articles and articles. I mean, I can pull out information here about vaccines for anybody that wants to look at them. And I've reported on them more than once. So we're not here to tell you what you should believe. We're just here to deliver information, and you can take and do with it as you will. And so with this Professor Veith, that's what I'm doing. I'm delivering the information to you, and I want to tell you that if I only received those two discs, the one on, let's see if I got it here, The Battle of the Bibles and Changing the Word, Part 1, 2, and 3. If I had paid him $300 for those two discs, $150 each, it would have been worth it if that's all I got right there. Just the information contained in those two. Now, I reported to you on some books that I had sent to me by a listener. And I did a series of programs, and I reported. Let me tell you, I did not do justice to the reporting. And while I learned scads about these mistranslations and the 64,000 missing words in the Bible, that was only half the story. So if you listened to that half of the story and you said, well, that's really great information, let me tell you, for $300 you can get more information than that and better from this guy. That's how good it is. Now, I'm 70, and I'm pretty smart. But I didn't know one half of what I do now about those Bibles. Just because he takes the time to go through verse after verse and say, when we change this word, when we add these three words, when we drop these two words and add these three words like they have done here, what does that tell you? It changes the meaning of the intent of the writer, who in Revelation 22:18 said plainly, if you change this, I'll take your name out of the book of life. If you add to this, I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. I think that's pretty serious. Now, I delivered a good series, and I read some good books. The man that sent me those two or three books, hey, partner, you did me a great service. But if that's all you've got on the changes made in the Scripture, you only got half the story. And for $30, $15 each, probably less than you paid for just one of those books by that Dr. Gilbert, this guy will tell you twice as much and show you twice as much for that same $30. Now, after having looked at those two video, the two videotapes, entitled Battle of the Bibles and Changing the Word, Part 1, 2, and 3, I can tell you confidently, I would gladly pay that man the $300 for those two discs, for the information that's on them. That's how valuable that is. It was better than those books that you sent me, partner. And those books that you sent me sure opened my eyeballs. I was totally deceived. Now, you know, I may not know it all, but I'm a lot smarter than I was. All right, now with that much in mind, let me run through about five more of these in the last 10 minutes that I've got here. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the first verse of the book of Revelation. And Dr. Vyth, in number 206 here, says, this lecture introduces the book of Revelation and its author. It is a verse-by-verse exposition of Revelation chapter 1, highlighting the deity of Christ, the method of interpretation, and the great battle between good and evil. It takes us back to the time of ancient cultures, right up to the present, showing that apostasy towards the truth in the past finds its mirror image in the present. The deceptions that are going on today, they've been going on for thousands of years. This isn't anything new. It's just that all of us are just as deceived as the average Egyptian or Babylonian was back in his day. Only we think we're a lot smarter. Now, he goes into the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. This is 207b. And he says, a look at the prophetic interpretation of these seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3. In this video, we're taken on a sweep through the history of the Christian church, from the time of Christ through the time of spiritual declension and apostasy. A time of compromise and to a time of gospel restoration. These chapters set the stage for the unraveling of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. Now, Ellen G. White wrote a book called The Great Controversy. My daughter sent me a copy of that. I think she's converted to Advent theology, which is as good as any or better than most. But as I pointed out, there's some big church, big denomination doctrinal problems with their theories, with their doctrines. I just want to point those out as we go along. They're probably, you know, better than the average Protestant, probably better than Roman Catholicism as it comes to obeying God and keeping His commandments, but they got some bad doctrine in here. And this guy, Vyth, corrects a lot of that bad doctrine that we get from Catholicism and Protestantism. I mean, this guy will straighten this out. And as long as he's sticking with the Scripture, God, I'm with this guy 100%. And he doesn't deviate very much. I can only find 12 places that I found a little problem. And if that's all he's got in there, I think this guy is on the track for the first resurrection. Seven Seals comes up next, and he says, it's an expose of Revelation 4-7, exposing the battles surrounding the gospel herald. It's a fascinating tale of the war between light and darkness, which culminates in the final onslaught on salvation in Christ. It reveals the good news that there will be a people standing on the platform of truth who will not submit to compromise. I think that he's right on point. I don't think we should compromise on the law of God. I don't think we should compromise on doctrine. Now, he comes up with number 209, when trumpets sound. The trumpets have always been a bone of theological contention. In this study, the various interpretations are compared using biblical exegesis based on the structure of the book of Revelation, and startling evidence is brought to view regarding these trumpets. The trumpets in the Bible are heralds of judgment, and it's within this context that we seek the meaning of the trumpets of Revelation. Now, I've told you students out there for years, here in my office I've got about 10 or 12 of these books of Revelation written by different guys. They all sound good. Professor Vi goes a step further and he puts them up on the screen. He says, well, now here's what this interpretation is, here's what this interpretation is, and so on. And then here's what the scripture says. Now, this interpretation fails because of this scriptural text. He goes through each one of these doctrines of the various major churches and says, okay, measured against the Bible, what do you think? And he's got it code pled out. And I'm telling you, this guy's got his head on straight. So when I saw that, I said, oh, well, now I can understand what these ten horns and the little beast is and the mark of the beast and the 666 and so on. It's pretty plain when it's code pled out, but if it isn't code pled out, you're not going to understand it. This guy's got it straight, and I'm going to recommend him. Now, the beast from the bottomless pit. This is number 210b. In chapter 11 of Revelation, a beast arises out of the bottomless pit, suggesting that from the structure, that form and structure, have been added to a gospel of falsehood emanating out of the depths of the bottomless pit and threatening to rob the world of light. A detailed look at the French Revolution. The French Revolution philosophy as it pertains to the setting up of the New World Order. This video portrays aspects of the kingdom of darkness which Satan wishes to establish on earth and exposes how this will directly impact upon the lives of all living today. This video is foundational to understanding current world events. Boy, that guy isn't mincing words. I would go so far as to say understated his position. Understated. It's more than that. More than that. What we learn in Protestant and Catholic Church is the party line. And it's false. There's an entirely different construction to the events that are unfolding in the world today. When we look at it from the point of view of Daniel and Revelation connected and code pled out so that we can understand it in plain language, plain English. This guy has decoded Revelation and Daniel. And without decoding Daniel, you couldn't understand Revelation, and you couldn't understand Revelation without decoding Daniel. The two work together hand in hand. I didn't know that. I wasn't that smart. At age 70, I didn't know. But now I do. And now that I do, I'm recommending it to you. So there's that part of the story. Now, we're out of time again here, boys and girls, so let me give you a final reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.